I trust that we've come with that expectancy, that faith, that belief within our hearts. Because God is the only one who can fill those vessels full of his presence and his glory, can he not? Well, I'd like to share something today that the Lord has, I believe, revealed to me. And as usual, we often have a title to our teaching. And the title today that we have is, Which Sacrifice Are You Offering? Which sacrifice are you offering? And I want to bring today your attention to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 22 through to 31. Verses 22 through to 31. Now, to remind ourselves of the book of Galatians, this is the book that was written not to just one church, but to quite a few churches. And the Apostle Paul is disturbed. He's concerned about what is going on because they started with the gospel of faith, the good news of the gospel, believing by faith, and they're now beginning to introduce works. And he is alarmed by this because they are bringing these works in as part of being justified by faith. And so he comes pretty firm on this. And he raises the fact that they are Jews, and some of them are Jews, and the law didn't justify them. How then can they start to bring this in and introduce it to Gentiles who were not under the law, under the old covenant? So he raises all these questions. Now, of course, these problems that were raised then in that time in Paul's ministry are still problems of today. It doesn't change. Human nature doesn't change. There is nothing new under the sun, as the Word of God says. So this is where we're going to be looking at this today, in light of our lives and how we are walking and how we are listening. Are we hearing by faith? Or are we hearing by works? In other words, I'm trying to work my way into heaven in that sense. Now, we, of course, are told to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling, but that is with regard to our hearts, our motives. That's what God looks to. And so that is what we're basing here today in light of this teaching. And let us now read this in Galatians chapter 4, taking it up from verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondwoman, the other by the free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, and which gave birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, O barren, you who do not hear. Break forth and shout, you who do not in labour. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, As Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be the heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. There's a huge amount contained in those verses there. And just in passing, that explains a huge amount that is happening and will happen in the Middle East and with Israel. What we are seeing is an Isaac and Ishmael problem. And the two do not get on, as is seen there. And as, of course, we know with the story of Abraham and Sarah, which we're going to look at, there's a conflict. So there's a natural conflict of the flesh. And we see that conflict today. It's in the news almost every day. And it will continue to be so until Jesus returns. And there is that conflict spiritually that you and I battle. And we're going to look at this. We're going to look at this warfare that goes on in our lives. This is why we walk by faith and not by sight. And the moment you try to work in the flesh your salvation, that you try to be good, you try to please God, you try to walk by faith, you try to be a Christian, you will fail. The new birth in Christ Jesus places and makes you potentially a son of God. It is not in doing, it is in being. As I have said so often, and I'll continue to say this, a person who is born a prince or a princess doesn't have to try and be one. They are one. And so that is what God has done for you through Jesus Christ. He's made you an heir. He has made you a new creation in Christ Jesus. The work is complete. It is done. It is finished. We are simply walking through this life as sojourners, confessing, believing what he has done for us at Calvary. There is nothing more you can add or you can do. It is done, it is finished, it is complete. And that, those were the last words that Jesus spoke on the cross as he gave his spirit into his Father's hands. It's done. It's finished. What was going on there? He has fulfilled the demands of the law. Up until that point, required still sacrifice and the shedding of blood. God's wrath against sin is now appeased. I stress that because we need to bear that in mind as I open up with this. Now, what we've just read there, Paul is not so much dealing with sin, but he's dealing with the relation of the natural and the spiritual. You see, the natural can only be turned into the spiritual through sacrifice. And that is why we have the great verse in Galatians 2, verse 20, which I will read to you, that you know well. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Your life, my life, is now about sacrifice. It is a giving up. It is a surrendering up. The same as Jesus willingly gave up his life unto death, we now willingly give up that independent self up to God, that he may work in and through us, that we can now walk by faith in the Spirit and not in the flesh. That is the argument being raised here. For example, in Galatians 5 and verse 24, "And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Now, that takes the baptism of the Holy Spirit in which to do that work, to crucify the passions and the desires. Because if our passions and desires are not dealt with by the Spirit, we will always put them first before Almighty God. And that is what we battle with at times. You see, the natural life itself is not sinful. You, a new creation, your flesh, you're not sinful. You're born again. But we are to flee from sin, because sin belongs to the devil. And we are tested, we are tempted to sin. And sometimes, occasionally, we fall to it. But it's not a question of giving up sin, but giving up my right to myself. And that's what he's raising here. That independent spirit. This is our battle. Hence our trials and our tests and our chastenings from God at times. You see, often what is good, noble and right, those things that we think are right, that are good and noble, and what the world seems to adhere to, that keeps us from God's very best. And this is a lot of our problems. We can still be so influenced by the world and its ways of what it thinks is right and noble and courageous. But God doesn't look that way. He doesn't think like man thinks. And so often we get confused with these issues. You see, most of us know what's evil. Most of us know what's corrupt, what's filthy, what's wrong. But we often debate and argue what is good. And only the Word of God, only the Holy Spirit can reveal to us what is good in the sight of God. And that is the question. And that's what our minds and hearts need renewing on. Particularly now, in these last closing days. With so much going on, so much in the news media, and so on. That is why we labour and study in the Word of God. Because the Word of God is good. It is God's standard. It's the standard that we live and confess and walk by. That is why we hold on to the promises of God's word. But most of the world out there is debating what is fundamentally good. That's what politics is all about. And that's why we don't get caught up in it, for that very reason. You see, it's good that opposes the very best. And that is what God gives, the very best. And you have to be a man or woman who walks by faith, grounded in the Word of God, led by the Holy Spirit for the very best, because God came through Jesus Christ to give you and I the very best, even in this life. Yet we so often still take second best. And that's a lot of our problem. That is why I responded to the Deeper Life teaching. I responded to it, and I still respond to it today, even though so few follow this teaching. I'm again very aware. Several came into the room, stay for about 3 or 4 minutes, but they couldn't stay, could they? Do you know why? Because they don't want the very best. They just don't have that faith to see that God can and does give the very best. And what is the very best? It's the giving of himself to us in relationship, in unity and oneness. That is the very best. That is what the bride is making herself ready with, destined for the throne, the first fruits, because she is experiencing the very best of Almighty God. You see, the higher we go with that very best, the greater is the opposition going to be. And that's why you're opposed, and that's why I'm opposed. But that is the big giveaway, isn't it? When the enemy comes trying to oppose, trying to trip us up, trying to get us to just settle for the second best, that is a clear sign of what God is doing in our lives and with the overcomers in these last days. So the question is, which sacrifice are you offering? And that's why those who are Christ have crucified the flesh, the desires, my want. It's his will I live for. It is that denial of the self-life that we so often raise up in our teaching. What does it say in Matthew 16 and verse 24? Matthew 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." So there it is. That's what the Lord has said. You know, some great saint said this: "Beware of refusing to go to the funeral of your own independence. Beware of refusing to go to the funeral of your own independence." And that sums up what it is, the overcomer's life. You see, the natural life is not spiritual, but it can be through the cross, that sacrifice. And this, of course, was the Apostle Paul's argument and admonishment to the Corinthian church. They were carnal. They wanted to be Christian, but live carnally. And they couldn't. And he had to nip it in the bud, the same as God does the same with us. You see, our goal is that the supernatural will become natural to us. That's really what it's about. So in other words, my supernatural life as a Christian, as an overcomer, experiencing the miraculous from God, in many ways has now become my natural life and living by being a new creation in Christ. That's probably it, if you sum it up. And that's what the Lord is doing with us. You see, if the cross isn't present, a person will live a double life. And that's always what happens. And that double life, if you're living it, will find you out in the end. It always does. So why does God demand the cross? It is a very good question. I mean, he's done it. So why does he demand it of us? Well, the flesh has to be crucified because God's perfect will for the natural to be changed into the spiritual comes through obedience. And that's why sin made it necessary for the natural to be sacrificed. And that's why God used sin in your life to expose the natural, the carnal, to expose where you're heading for, to expose that you are in the first Adam and you need to be in the second Adam, whose name is Jesus Christ. It's wonderful how God uses everything in which to bring about his perfect will in our lives. And that's why Abraham had to offer up Ishmael. It's interesting that Ishmael had to be offered first before Isaac. What do we mean by that? Well, he had to let Ishmael go. We know the story of what happened, the conflict between the two boys. So in the end, he had to let Ishmael go first. Ishmael of the flesh, under the law. And then when he had done that, Isaac, then he was able to offer up Isaac. Let's just remind ourselves of this in Genesis 21. Turn to Genesis 21 and verses 8 to 14. Genesis 21, and we'll take it up from 8 to 14. So the children grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing, in other words, mocking, taking the mickey. Therefore she said to Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac." And the matter was very displeasing to Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not let it be displeasing to your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is of your seed." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on the shoulder, he gave it and the boy and Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered into the wilderness of Beersheba. And so the story goes on, that they're in the wilderness and they're they're about to die and the angel comes and preserves them and so on. Now, the question that Paul is raising in all of this, as we open this even further, do you want a legal relationship with God? Do you want a relationship where you are in control? You're doing what you want to do, planning your own life, your own future, going your own independent way. Is that what you want? Because you see, Paul in Galatians 4 and verse 20 onwards, and where it says in verse 27, "Rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labour, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband." He's quoting there from Isaiah 54. You see, when God restores her, that's Israel, as a nation, and pours blessings upon her, they're going to look back and they're going to see how God blessed the Gentiles and how they rejected their Messiah. And so we see from this, those who are of the promise and those who are of the Spirit, it contrasts those that are of the flesh. And this is what Paul brings up all the time. Do you want to walk? Do you want the flesh to have its way? Or the Spirit, the life of Christ, God in you, to have its way? That is the conflict. And it will be a conflict until you settle it. Galatians 2:20, Romans 12:1-2. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. They are still the battles that we have. And Paul uses the contrast of the flesh, that is Sarah not fully trusting God, and Abraham attempting to keep God out. And so Sarah says, go in with Hagar and bear children. There you're seeing the flesh at work. They're not in faith. They're not trusting God. And Abraham, of course, was quite satisfied to do that. He was quite satisfied to take note of what his wife said. And so we'll have a son because we're getting old now. We soon won't be able to bear and conceive. So let your maid bear you a child. And Abraham was quite satisfied to go along with that. Still the same today. We find the weakness in men. Husbands at times are quite satisfied to go along with what the wife decides, because they're not showing leadership, headship. And that is what unbelief, flesh, will do. And so here we see there are two covenants. There's the law relating to the flesh, and Jesus Christ relates to the Spirit because he is of Isaac. Isaac, as we know, was of the promise. Jesus was to come through the seed of Isaac, not Hagar, Ishmael. And so we decide to relate to God by the law or by the hearing of faith. And that's why I'm such a stickler that faith comes by hearing the word of God. That stops you from the flesh and hearing by the law. And that is the difference. That is the conflict. That is the fight that goes on with you, brothers and sisters, each day. You see, Ishmael was vexing Isaac. He, in other words, was mocking him. He was making fun of him. Does that sound familiar? That is why we're a peculiar people. That is why they laugh at us, mock at us. They don't understand our ways, that we walk by faith. And so Sarah, she responded to this, get rid of that bondwoman. In other words, get rid of the flesh. It's mocking my son. Now you see, Abraham, he's upset about this, isn't he? As we read. But God spoke to Abraham and said, listen to your wife. Now notice the difference. She's now accepted the promise. Isaac, it's there. So their faith, enduring, staying with it, God was faithful. Even though they made a mistake, God gave them their son in old age. It was supernatural. Now, she's holding on to that. You see, Abraham is quite happy. We'll all live together as a family. You know, okay, the sons aren't getting on, but then children, you know, they fall out. No, 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 she saw something there. She saw that he is to be the heir. Messiah is to come through his seed line. Not through Ishmael, who's of the flesh. And God speaks to Abraham and says, listen to your wife. Note how God uses all of us. It's not just men. He uses the sisters as well. And sometimes men are dull of hearing because they're quite happy just to go along. Let's relax, let's just have some peace, give me peace, just give me that rest. And God doesn't. That is one of the weak things of men that we as brothers have to battle with. We like to have a rest, give me that peace. Don't rock the boat. And sometimes God will use a sister or a wife to remind you of what God says. That is why God places divine headship in the family, for that very purpose. And so the bondwoman refers to the law. And the law was from Mount Sinai, which Moses gave to the children of Israel. But it cannot bring blessing. It cannot bring faith. And if you still listen by the law, you cannot walk by faith. And that is a lot of our hindrance. That is why at times our faith doesn't work. Because we want the law. We want to be in control of our faith. And the promises of God. And we're not. You see, when you walk by faith, you are in the natural, utterly, totally, completely out of control. And for some of us, that is fearful. But that is how we walk. And if you want the law still, it's going to bring a curse on you. Because there's no redemption in Christ with that. And that's why we're born again and something within us doesn't relate to the law anymore. We relate now through the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. You see, the teaching of Paul, they're important. This is important to the Galatians because they're bringing in the law. They want to bring in circumcision. They want to hold on to the concepts of being rewarded for good works. And you'll be punished if you're bad. Does that sound familiar? That's what they're doing. That's how a lot of denominationalism stands and preaches today. That you will have your rewards if you're good, but you're going to be punished if not. And we've been trained to think that way. If you're good, you're going to get a prize. Oh, yuppie. No, 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 no. That is not what Christ died for. It's finished. It's done. It's complete in Christ. All the promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. They are for us, not based on our works, but on our faith, believing. And that is why we relate to God through faith and faith only in his promises. And even though I may fail, and we do fail, and we fall short at times of the high standard of God, yet he still blesses. We know so often our works don't measure up to our words and our actions. We're all full of words. We all like to quote the scriptures and praise the Lord. And yes, it has its place. But I found myself at times writing the scripture, encouraging, only to find that I fail miserably that standard, what I'm typing up. And yet, he still blesses. And he'll bless that mustard seed of faith. Why? Because I'm a child of the free woman. I'm a child of the promise. And only by faith can I operate and appropriate all of this. And that is why God has brought us in to FGA, so that we can be nourished and brought up with such an atmosphere and an experience of knowing that Christ is head over us and not some man bringing us into bondage. And there's the difference. You know, sometimes we can't handle the goodness of God. Because even when we've fallen short, we sin badly, yet there he is, blessing us, ever receiving us, not holding grudges or unforgiveness against us like we do, casting it away as far as the east is to the west. Why? Because it's accomplished, it's done, it's finished at Calvary. I've often found that God has been able to work in me obedience because I'm broken when I have missed it so bad and sinned, and yet he is there to embrace me and love me and forgive me and not hold it against me. It's that that breaks me, that pierces my heart. The forgiveness and love and mercy of God, ever ending. That's what gets the obedience. Christians that will walk and be consecrated unto him. That's how he works it, not by always a chastening rod. You must do this or else. That's what the law demands, not what grace says. And that is why we walk by faith and not by sight. But Abraham had to offer up Ishmael first, of the flesh, the bondwoman. Then came the offering of Isaac, the one from above, of the Spirit, the promise. And there's the difference. And that is our conflict that we have each day. Do I want to place myself under the law or by the Spirit of God? We have a choice. What you sow is what you reap. And that is why faith comes by hearing the word of God. And it is only by faith can you please God. You cannot please him by your works, by your good efforts, by your trying to be a Christian. Forget it. You either are or you're not. That is it with God. It is black and white. And that's why we have problems with that. And that is why you cannot offer up the spiritual sacrifice before you have dealt with the natural sacrifice. And the natural sacrifice is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present yourself as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, placing yourself on that altar, then God will do the rest. You needn't worry, the fire will fall and consume to make the natural into the spiritual. Because it is only the spiritual who will mature as the sons of God. It is only the spiritual that will prepare and make herself ready to marry the bridegroom. It is the spiritual who are the five wise virgins. There is the contrast. That is your fighting. That is your warfare at times that goes on. Because the moment we start to walk independently of God brings you down into the law. And the law, if you put yourself under it, is nothing but a curse. And that is why religion, denominationalism, is a curse before God. And that is why God separated and brought some of us out of that. I know, because I was steeped in it for years. Well, God has given us many, many promises. God has given us the very, very best of himself through Jesus Christ. And he's empowered us that we can walk this for his glory. And he would not have brought us thus far and said what he has said and done what he has done if he's not able to achieve and work this in each of us. And that is why, brothers and sisters, as I close with this, this is why we're preserved. This is why we're being kept for his good pleasure. If God doesn't preserve and keep us, then none of this will happen. And God is going to reveal in the last days the sons of God. And that is why each day you are walking by faith and not by sight. Do not be deterred by what is going on in the world, the news that we hear, the turmoil, the confusion is getting worse and worse. We are seeing the falling away now that the Bible speaks of and that we have warned and preached about for years and years. We are in the midst now of seeing all of this happening. But this is a test for each of us to see what we have learned, what we have grasped, how much we have been listening to over the years, and whether we are walking by faith or not, or desire to walk by faith or not, because everything is going to fail. God is shaking the heavens and the earth. And what is this shaking doing? It is exposing. And when exposures come, then you get the turmoil, you get the panic, you get the fear and everything that goes on. But brothers and sisters, we're above that. God says that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We look down upon this, always from a standing of victory. And these pestilences and diseases that we're hearing, and we'll hear more, we have to trust and believe that we are preserved and kept from all these things. We have nothing to fear. There's no fear in the perfect love of God. But the desire should be within our hearts that I walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because if you continue to walk in the flesh, you bring yourself under its curse, because it's the works of the flesh. And no man is justified by the works of the flesh, but by the hearing of the word of God. Faith comes by hearing that word. Heavenly Father, what we have heard today, Lord, we know is good news to us, but it is also a warning to us. And you love us enough to speak to us in such a way that you do. It is because you love us and you desire to preserve and protect us. But Lord, we know that you never force us. It is our will, our willingness, our wanting to do it your way. And that is why you give us your word to help influence us to make the right choice, the right decision, the right prayers, the right requests before you. Father, we know that what we've heard today, that we take to you before you in prayer, we know that you will not turn your ears against those prayers. You will move heaven and earth, if need be, to get us to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And Father, whatever you are working within our lives, within our personalities, within our weaknesses, whatever you are working in order for us to give up, to die to, you will always replace with your presence and your blessing. So Lord, we cannot lose in this. We are the only people that are not only blessed, but have already won the victory. Father, we thank you that you are gracious and merciful. You are so long-suffering. Lord, forgive us that we're so slow at hearing, that we can be so ungrateful. We can forget so easily and go our own way and do our own thing. Lord, forgive us, Father. It's that pride still within us that wants its own way. But Lord, deal with it, whatever way is needed, that we're wholly and completely set apart unto you and you alone. Father, we ask this now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, which sacrifice are you offering? That's what we have been looking at today. And I trust that it has helped you, encouraged you, healed you, delivered you, because that is what the Word of God is to do. Praise God.